Well, Mike Geiger, the president and CEO of the Auspicious Association of Fundraising Professionals. Mike, I quote AFP, like, I swear to God, once a week, from the wonderful missives that you send out to the information, the research that your organization does. You really are the leading thought organization, I think, for our sector. And so we're super, super excited to have you join us today. And I can't wait to delve into this. Now, we were able to find a picture of you holding up your fingers, three. And so we came up with the top three things that fundraisers face. But I think we're going to hear a lot more than just three things. So we're super excited to have you with us. We're also super excited to have Wendy F. Adams, one of our Intrepid co-host panelists. And she is also a CFRE and somebody who is really a part of the AFP family as well in her workaday world. And so, Wendy, thank you for joining us. We're also incredibly honored to have the support of our presenting sponsors, most who have been with us since day one when we started now more than 5 years ago and more than 1,000 episodes ago. And they include Bloomerang, American Nonprofit Academy, Nonprofit Thought Leader, Staffing Boutique, Your Part-Time Controller, 180 Management Group, Fundraising Academy at National University, JMT Consulting, and Nonprofit Tech Talk. Okay, Mike Geiger, what the heck? MBA and CPA? What were you bored in school?
I was bored one weekend. What can I say? I what's interesting about at least my career, and maybe it's for other people, and maybe if you look back on yours, you would agree with me. Things just sort of happen. I mean, you have a plan, and you're sort of going in that general plan, but then something comes up and you take a little detour, you go a little bit this way, a little bit that way, and I wasn't planning on getting my MBA, but then I did, and I had no thought I was done with that. And I'm like, okay, no more. I am tired of looking at books. And then I realized, well, there's an opportunity to get my CPA, and then I did that. And then from there, I've just been in nonprofits all my career. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I want to say it was sort of accidental, but I mean, it wasn't a master plan. Let's put it that way.
You know, I love that because I think there are a lot of people in our sector who would have a similar story. You know, they didn't plan on going into the nonprofit service arena, and then they find that they love it or they have a passion for something. And then before they know it, it's just bloomed. And I mean, Wendy, don't you see that as well?
I do. I see. Like we're starting to walk this path, and then oh, it also speaks to holding things loosely and being ready to be flexed, yes. Right? So that's what I'm hearing from you, Mike.
No, that's exactly right. Being open, having an open mindset, a growth mindset, and when there's opportunities that fit into what your life ethos is, then you take those and you never know where they go. Sort of that right. Road less traveled. And if you take it, lots of opportunities open up that you never even thought about.
I love it. I love the spirit of that. Well, with the spirit of that, Mike, talk to us about what AFP does and why we should be paying attention to them and to you and your team. How does this impact our sector?
Yeah. So I'm the president and CEO, as you mentioned. So I am not biased in any way at all. I have the absolute greatest staff working with me. I emphasize with. We have incredible volunteers. We have incredible board members. The organization was founded in 1960, really based on the premise of our code of ethics, to provide an ethical framework for fundraisers back in 1960. And it has taken off from there. We're almost 30,000 members, and we are shared, split out, approximately 200 chapters. And we have about 20 collegiate chapters. So we really try to serve our members through the chapter model. And I think that makes us unique from a lot of other organizations where there's, I mean, yes, we are here at the headquarters. We are the AFP Global, sort of the umbrella, but then we have all the chapters that really are the connection point to, mm-hmm. to our members. And so what we do is we provide education on best practices. We focus on how do we improve the skills that our members have in the fundraising area, but also in other areas, because nowadays you're not just a fundraiser, right? You're a fundraiser, you're a finance person, you're an HR person, you're into relationships, you know, there's so many other parts of your job than just being the fundraiser. Then we also bring our members together. So we are a convener. We have, and we'll probably talk about this a little bit later, we have ICON every year, which brings together, you know, 3,500 to 4,500 individuals in one location. We were just in Toronto, and it was, again, I'm biased, it was incredible. We also focus very heavily on our code of ethics, making sure that we create a framework, that we have a framework that our members, as members of our organization, that they feel safe, they feel respected, they feel valued. And that's a critical, critical piece of what we bring. So I think those three things are really, mm-hmm. really important. What we just finished a membership survey and we were just going over the results yesterday. And what we are seeing is that our members are extremely happy, pleased, proud of being an AFP member.
Good.
And then we dig into, okay, well, if you are a young professional mm-hmm. versus a more seasoned, you know, what are you looking for and in an organization? And we see how we all know those in their 20s and 30s are different than those of us in our mm-hmm. 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. And they want different things. And so for us, we are trying to meet the needs where our members are. We want to go to where they are. I think that we see in our world that successful organizations are the organizations that go to where their members are and that are able to, and I'm going to put quotes around it, customize the member experience so that you feel this is truly created for me, and that's different than what that membership experience is for you, Julia, and different than it is for you, Wendy.
Yeah.
So I could go on, but that's sort of the highlights of what we bring to the table for our members.
Well, let's dig down a little bit, because one of the things that we always worry about is, and I shouldn't say we always, but we do talk a lot about this, is the retention of our talent. And, you know, this is a big issue for just the employment landscape in itself.
Yeah. Yep.
What are you seeing in terms of professional fundraisers, and what can we be doing to retain our talent?
Yeah. So the statistic that is thrown out there a lot is that fundraisers, they job hop a lot. They move every 18 months, 24 months at the most. They're constantly moving around. And I think since COVID, what we are seeing is that is changing. It's elongating. Fundraisers are staying in their jobs a little longer. And I think that the biggest challenges we have as fundraisers in our role is those to whom we report who are not fundraisers, they don't understand what fundraisers do, right? They think, oh yeah, I'll tell you this story. I was a CFO at a very well-known global think tank. And the CEO, we were having a budget meeting, and the CEO said, well, we need to raise another $2 million to meet the budget. So let's ask the fundraiser to raise another $2 million. I mean, like you could just go in and type it in and the money comes out, right? It's not how it works. And I think that the top leaders of organizations, even though they are typically involved in the fundraising process, they don't understand everything that is involved. You don't just meet someone, mm-hmm. ask them for a donation, And that's that, right? It is a process. It is building the relationship. It is understanding what is it that the donor wants to achieve? What is it that the community wants to achieve? And we can look at donor-centric fundraising and community-centric fundraising as two different approaches that I think work well together, actually. I don't think they are opposed to each other. So retention of staff, I think, is a challenge. But I think that the more we can educate the rest of the organization as to what's really involved, the higher the chances of retaining our fundraisers. I think that in an organization, one way or another, every employee is actually a fundraiser, right? There is the person when they pick up the phone to answer an incoming phone call or respond to an email. Like, those are touch points that are really important. And when you look at the best in class organizations, whether we're talking nonprofit or for profit, every touch point is such a great experience. And I think that's going to be an important piece in terms of retention, is having the rest of the organization support the fundraiser, not just, well, you're the fundraiser, you're out on your own, bring us in all the money. That just doesn't work, right? And so I think that kind of education will help. I actually think that the hybrid work environment is also very helpful in retaining employees. I think we have seen that. We started after the pandemic 3 days in the office, and then through various negotiations with staff, which I'm always open to, we agreed on 2 days in the office. So today is a Tuesday, and we are here Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So I think there's these different benefits that are non-financial that can help retain. I also think that the compensation has increased significantly. When you look at AFP's compensation study that comes out every year, and if you don't have it, you really should go find it. It shows that compensation has increased, and it has increased across all the different aspects of employees, whether they are male, female, Black, white, Asian, whether they are members of the LGBTQ community. And so I think that the increase in compensation is another piece that helps. So I think that these are the financial aspects and the non-financial aspects that organizations can lean into to retain their employees.
I love it. You know, Wendy, one of the things that you and I have seen, and we've actually spoken about, there's so much information that comes at us, right? So yes. Much. Everybody's, you know, trying to be more data oriented. And we get these mixed messages about this concerning decline of fundraising, and, you know, people aren't giving, and we have all these new instruments from DAFs to, what do you see, Mike? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, we do. So AFP has a foundation, the AFP Foundation for Philanthropy, and the foundation does all of our research. And so as part of the foundation, we have an initiative called the Fundraising Effectiveness Project, FEP. And we are constantly doing research on different metrics. And so what we are seeing is that over the past year, there's been a 3% drop in dollars raised. There's been a little more than a 3% drop in donors, and there's been about a 2.5% drop in donor retention. So this is a trend that we've been seeing since 2022 coming out of the pandemic. And then we have inflation that has also impacted this, right? So our numbers, they get even less optimistic if we include the impact of inflation. So the key thing is that in prior years, we would be able to maintain the level of giving in dollars because there were the very wealthy donors that stepped up. The markets, the stock market had been increasing. And so they actually had more money to give. And so they gave more. And so it sort of hid the decline in donors, and especially in smaller donors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we hit that perfect storm, right? Everything right. at the same time. Right. Yeah.
And I think there's good news ahead, and I'm going to point us to the Lilly Family School of Philanthropy at Indiana University. Amir Pasek heads that up, and they're predicting a return to growth in the coming years. They do a philanthropy outlook for 2024 and for 2025, and they predict that giving will increase this year by 4.2%, and then in 2025 by 3.9%. Now, inflation has been coming down, so that's helpful. Mm-hmm. We are out of, I never know what the right term is, but the pandemic, I think, for most of us, at least in our mindset, is mm-hmm. behind us. Mm-hmm. And so I think that everybody is feeling a little better about giving and what they can do, how they can bring about change. There's one thing that's going to be very interesting this year, and we see it every 4 years, and that's the presidential election. A lot of giving goes to that, right? Mm-hmm. And so it takes up all the oxygen, not all the oxygen. It takes up a lot of the oxygen in the room and funnels money that could be used for other things mm-hmm. and funnels it into that. And so we're going to be dealing with that. But there's also opportunity. There's also opportunity. And one of the big opportunities are looking at millennials and Gen Z. We really expect that they're going to be playing a larger and larger role in philanthropy as they begin to inherit mm-hmm. wealth from their parents / grandparents, depending on all the different situations. And we have to learn, and this is where AFP comes in, we have to learn how to fundraise, how to connect, how to build relationships mm-hmm. with those generations, because it's very different than my generation, different. Right? Mm-hmm. It's an entirely different way of thinking. My daughter is what is today? She's 10-ish days away from being 25. Mm-hmm. And she has a very different approach on things. And so we have to make sure we understand how do we connect. Now, one of the many ways to connect is also artificial intelligence. And we can, like, that's a whole show on itself, right?
I mean, that's a whole month.
It really is, right? I pulled up our latest AFP's Advancing Philanthropy, and we did a whole issue on AI and how to really benefit from that.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love that you're talking about that, and I love that you're pointing us, I mean, as thought leaders to our sector. And I have to say, I'm a total groupie for your the e-newsletter that comes out where you yeah. have your comments and you talk about things that you're witnessing and that's going on. I think it's very insightful and I think it's inspirational. And it's also gives me a glimpse into a different way of thinking at times. But you have this comment about collective wisdom and how we search for it. What does that mean to you and what should it mean to us?
Collective wisdom is, I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. Wendy, all due respect, you may have all the answers, but together we can learn from each other. We can challenge each other respectfully, right? That's a really important word. Social media is good in many ways, but it also can wind up being very disrespectful. Mm-hmm. And so I think that bringing people together, bringing ideas together, throwing up ideas, learning from each other, not assuming that the typical people have all the answers, but let's go talk to other people. Let's bring other people into the conversations who typically mm-hmm. have not been in these conversations. I learned so much more from talking to people that when we go to ICON or it's in Seattle next year, plug, or we go to LEAD, which is in St. Louis in October, plug. When I get that chance to meet with people that I don't normally cross paths mm-hmm. with, just, mm-hmm. they live in a different part of the country, they do different kind of work. And to have that chance to sit down and talk and learn and question, and not, I don't mean question them, but question the different ideas that we're talking about.
Be curious. Yeah.
I think it's inspiring, right? In my previous roles, when I worked for large global think tanks and I would travel around the world for different meetings or different initiatives, having the chance to sit down with people that are very different from me, that's where we grow as people. That's where we learn. And so as an organization, AFP tries to bring together people from very diverse backgrounds, people that think very differently, and bring us together and talk about things. I mean, there's so many critical things from the metrics, but even more important than that, the work we're doing around IDEA, inclusion, diversity, equity, and access, right? That's something that we all have to get behind to really have the impact that we want to have. And having those conversations, you can only do that when we are together. You don't do it on social media. It doesn't work, right? Somebody throws a bomb out there and runs away. Mm. It's just terrible. But it has its purpose, and that's okay. But our we view our role as, how do we bring people together, share different ideas, challenge different ideas, come up with new ideas, new ways of doing things, and looking at how do we reach out into the corners and the sidelines and the end zones and the center of the field and bring everybody together. And I think that's the, for me, what collective wisdom is really all about.
I love it. Fantastic. Yeah.
What do you think, Wendy?
Wendy, what do you think about that? I mean, are you seeing that in your practice and where you are in this country?
I am. I definitely am. I mean, no two visions, no two missions are the same. So why do we think that we've got the answer right here, you know, in our little sector or our little corner of the world? We do. We talk about being better together. We say it. Now it's time to walk it out. I love that whole, like you said, the collective mindset and recognizing being curious, right?
Yes.
Not assuming. Yeah. Still working on that here, but really asking the question without an assumption that, hey, we really do need each other in that space. So I love that. Love it. Yes. And I'm experiencing that as a member of AFP and a CFRE. I see that we are, as an organization, walking that out. I'm so proud.
Yeah. You just hit on two things that I always carry with me. One is the assume, right? We know what happens when you assume, right? You know,
yes, indeed.
I don't remember the origin of that. I think it was a show or something, but, and then the curiosity, right? If anybody wants that explanation of curiosity, go to that Ted Lasso episode where he's throwing darts in the pub, right? And he talks about, you know, you were never curious about who I was, as he just cleans up the dart game. And it's really, it is that, right? It's about being curious and not going into things, which is really hard, going into things with our own biases, right? They're unconscious or whether they are conscious. It's trying to put those behind us and be open-minded and say, I don't know everything. Let me learn. And maybe what I think is actually not right. Challenge our own assumptions.
Right.
And it starts with the leader. It starts with the leader. When they can show that they can do that.
Yeah.
Man.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, Mike Geiger, what a leader. And like I said today, and I was kind of teasing you, but I really meant it. You are a big fish, you know, not only for the nonprofit show, but for our sector and really for the world. I mean, you know, North America does fundraising like nobody else. It's a big part of our culture and our history and our future. And so to have your organization come on and share with us, and at the same time, be so strong and be such a great thought leader for the amazing numbers of people doing this work. I really applaud you. And I have to say, when I put out to the co-host panel, we were going to have you on. There were a lot of co-hosts that wanted to come on, and Wendy was the lucky one that got to be here. Well,
I'm flattery will get you everywhere. So just keep it coming. Keep it coming.
It's a privilege, for sure.
In seriousness, you know, I I love having the opportunity to talk to people and share the vision of the organization. It's such an incredible organization, and I'm honored and privileged. I've been in this role 7 years, and it's been an amazing journey so far, and I really am blessed to be in this role. So I value the opportunities to talk to people about things that I'm seeing.
I love it. Well, we Fantastic. Are delighted that you would be here. Mike Geiger, President and CEO of AFP, the Association of Fundraising Professionals. Mm. Check out afpglobal.org. You will be amazed at how much information. Yeah, it is. It is the mind blow on that, because the amount mm-hmm. of information that AFP Global gives out to the sector is remarkable. It's always changing. Yes. It's always fresh. It has a forward thinking perspective, as well as historical context, so mm-hmm. that you mm-hmm. kind of see the journey and the arc of things that are happening, which I think is super important. And finally, Mike, we found something that was started before I was born. Usually these things are always like after I was born. So that made my day, Mike. I just got to say.
There you go. There you go. No, it's great. I mean, I'm, you know, as an organization, we're really proud of the work that we do. We're honored to serve our members. We have an incredible staff. We have incredible volunteers and contributors to all our work. Nobody is on this journey alone. And we're just grateful to be a part of all the work that we collectively as a sector are trying to achieve. So thank you very much for the opportunity today.
Oh my gosh. Fantastic. It's been amazing. Hey, Miss Wendy, I'm going to let you take us out today, because I have done all the talking today.
Absolutely. Well, so exciting. Thank you, Mike. Once again, none of this is possible without our tremendous sponsors: Bloomerang, American Nonprofit Academy, Nonprofit Thought Leader, 180 Management Group, Fundraising Academy at National University, your part-time controller, Staffing Boutique, Nonprofit Tech Talk, and JMT Consulting. Thank you so much.
They are amazing parts of the sector, and we are so honored. You know, Mike, we sign off every day with the same mantra, and we started it back 5 years ago, that first weekend of the pandemic shutdown, with this mantra, and it means something different to me every day. And I always say that because it's like a broken record, but it's really true. And I loved so many of the things that you said today. So many of the things were hopeful, they were strategic, and they were concrete in that we need to be working together. And so the message goes like this: to stay well so you can do well. We'll see you back here for another episode of the Nonprofit Show. Thank you, you two, very, very much.